Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter number 17. I'm very thankful for the forgiveness of God. Thankful that He does forgive us. And I know that in my life, in my heart, sometimes it's easy to remember all those things that I've done wrong in the past. But if I've given over to the Lord, it's under the blood, and I'm thankful for that. And remember, we said many a time, Satan is the one that offers guilt. Christ is the one that offers hope. And if you've gotten it right and you reckon yourself dead, you know, you got to get it right. You just can't keep on ignoring it. You have to confess, which means agree with God. But He says He'll forgive us and He'll forget it. I'm thankful for that. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Wonderful truths. Okay, so we began a number of weeks ago on Wednesday nights in 1 Kings. And last week we moved it to the Sunday morning series because we're beginning to talk about this man named Elijah. We showed you the backdrop, all the wickedness of everything was going on at that day and time in the nation of Israel, especially in the northern tribe of Israel. Elijah comes on the scene. We don't know much about him. He just walks on the pages of Scripture. And we talked about the area he was from. He was probably a very courageous, kind of like a mountain man type guy that came in very bold and makes his proclamation unto the king. And it says in verse number 1 in chapter 17, it says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. And he was saying that because they were saying that God was dead, that they should worship Baal. As the Lord God liveth, before whom I stand. If we realize we're standing in the presence of God, we have no problems being bold. We have no problems declaring the word of God. But remember, we're doing it for the Lord, and we stand in His presence. He says, there shall not be dew nor rain these seasons, but according to my word. And we knew that at that point in time back then, when the drought happens, it hurts, it affects so many people in so many different ways. Rain affects and hurts so many people nowadays. But even now, back then, it would cause a problem, an issue. As most of us know, this route and this drain happened for 3.5 years. God told him to go hide himself. And once again, if you're a courageous man or what the world would clarify a man's man, you wouldn't want to go hide yourself. But he goes to the brook Cherith underneath God's direction. God provides for him with the raven and with the brook. And then after the brook dries up, God tells him to go to a widow's house in Zarephath. And he goes to that widow house. And I told you the challenge that it probably was for Elijah. Elijah probably didn't want to go to the brook. He probably wanted to stay out in the limelight and keep on preaching and keep on boldly declaring the truth. But you know what? He listened to God. And the point of last week's message was God will provide. God will take care of you. If you're following His directions, you're where God wants you to be. Because remember, He said, at the brook, He says, the ravens will feed you there. If you're in God's position, God will take care of you and do the things that God needs you. And praise the Lord for that. We could tell you story after story of how God provides for those that are following His directions and at the spot where He wants them to be at. And then we see them going to the widow Zarephath, and we remember the story that the widow was out there. He says, hey, can you go get me some water? And she shows a servant heart and goes to get the water. And then he says, can you also make me a little cake? And the widow probably breaks down a little bit and says, you know, I'm gathering these sticks here because I only have a little bit left, and we're going to go eat this meal. And then me and my son, we're going to die. And I'm sure Elijah's heart, I know my heart would be broken. Elijah's first response would have been in his heart would be, how can I help this lady? That's not what God gave instruction to do. God said to him, he says, I want you to, she's going to provide for you. You're going to sojourn there. And Elijah talked about the miracle that was going to happen. He says, if you go and you prepare for me first, the oil will not fail. And they continue to have meal after meal after meal. So today's story is a little bit different, is things are going well. God is miraculously providing day after day. And the title of this morning's message is, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Why bad things happen to good people. Because in this story, you're going to see that tragedy happens. And you say, Pastor, no. Pastor, last week you said everything's going to be perfect and everything's going to be wonderful if you're doing what God wants you to do and you're staying exactly where God wants you to and leading, that you won't have any problems at all. I didn't say that last week. All I said was that God was going to provide for you. God was going to meet your needs. Doesn't mean that tragedy isn't coming. Doesn't mean that something bad could not happen. You're not in the right church if you think that there is a prosperity and a wealth gospel that God intends for all his children to be always happy and healthy and super rich and have the best of things of this world's things. I don't know how they think that's true when all those apostles, many of them, if not all of them, gave their lives. And many of them faced such torture and did not have many of these world things. I don't know how they do that or how they get sick and they write. I don't know how they fix all that. But I do know that sometimes bad things happen to good people. I'm going to look a little bit at that at the end. But we're going to look a little bit at this story here. And we're going to see the story about this woman whose son that was receiving the food that was needed to survive actually dies. And what happens normally when someone dies or when a tragedy happens, there's some different things that comes to people's minds. And we're going to see some of the reactions here. And we're going to look at this for a little while. And hopefully this could be help to you. I know in the last few weeks, I'm privy to some more information than some of you guys are as a church family, church congregation. But a lot of you are going through hardships. Maybe not even just the last few weeks. It's been the last months. You're facing a trial and a testing that you don't know if you're ever going to make it through. Actually, you feel like I'm never going to be able to make it through. But let's place ourselves in this situation here as we did last week. I encourage you to think as the widow woman being saddened and saying, I'm gathering these sticks and then we're going to die. Now she watches her own son die. Let's look here in 1 Kings chapter number 17. Let's see how God provides here. We'll start in verse number 16, just to give you a reminder. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So that was the good example there, the positive things that were happening. Miraculously, in the middle of a famine, they were being fed day after day after day by God's blessings. It says in verse 17, and it came to pass after these things. What things are they talking about? Talking about Elijah staying at the home, the widow woman taking care of Elijah, the meal being provided, that the son of the woman, and we explained to you before that this son of the woman must be a younger child, because if not, the son would be out trying to help provide for the mother. So the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now, to just give you a picture of that day and time, back then, as a child gets older, that child would go out and work and would help provide for his mother and would take care of his mother. So not only all the hopes and pens and dreams that you have for normally for your child growing up and wanting to see them being successful, maybe seeing them marry someday, maybe someday seeing them be right and have children and all those different things and seeing what God, you all think of that future. But in this story, her financial, her well-being is at stake here too. And her son passes away. And what do people do sometimes when they pass away, when they have a tragedy happen? Sometimes they blame God. Sometimes they blame the preacher. Sometimes they blame themselves. And this woman is running through a whole range of gamut of different things that she's going through. You see this in verse number 18. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? So here she's first kind of blaming Elijah. Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now, we do not know what that sin was. The Bible doesn't tell us, so we don't need to figure it out. A number of commentators had different thoughts and different reasons, thinking that because of where she was, might have been a Baal worshiper. Maybe the relationships and things like that. But that doesn't really matter. But you see two things. First of all, she says something to the man of God. She says, look, you've come here. And she's blaming him. What do I have to do with thee? I didn't ask you to come. But then she says, to bring my sin to remembrance. And we think about that song that Miss Mary Jo sang earlier. Guilt really does trouble us. When tragedy happens, when problems happen, when circumstances of control that happen out of our hands, many times we're feeling like, man, what have I done wrong? What sin have I committed? What do I need to get right in order to get things right with God to make this tragedy go away? But that's not always the case. That's not always the reason why bad things happen to good people. Let's keep on going. You see here in verse number 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. Now, it's humbling here for Elijah, I'm sure. Now, remember, this is happening in a place of submission. Elijah probably did not really want to go to this woman's house to have a woman provide for him, especially a widow, but they were both doing the will of God. The widow was taking care of Elijah. Elijah had gone there and was staying there. It was a place of sacrifice where this happened. Elijah had to sacrifice to come to Zarephath, and the widow lady would have to sacrifice in order to help take care of Elijah. Just because you're sacrificing doesn't mean that there's not going to be trials and coming. But you think about it, it's a place of service too. To help upkeep things for Elijah, that would be serving the Lord. Elijah doing the work of God, he's serving the Lord here. And so these things does not eliminate trials and bad things or tragedies happening. Verse number 19. How does Elijah react? Sometimes when we are questioned, says, what do I have to do with ye? You know, the challenges, oh, thou man of God, challenging your spirituality, challenging you as a Christian, challenging you as a believer in God. What am I going to, what's our natural reaction? Well, you must be wrong with God, or there must be, you know, even when tragedy is happening, emotions run so high that sometimes people say things that are just not needed. Look how Elijah responds. Elijah turns and says unto her, give me thy son. He took him out of her bosom. And that's why we think that he was probably a younger child, and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And when he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the woman with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? See, we see the woman up there blaming Elijah, the woman blaming herself because of her past deeds. But we also see Elijah here asking God, saying, why would you allow this to happen? How could you let, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon this, upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son? In verse 21, we see what Elijah does. And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord. And he cries out to God. He's desirous. We looked on Wednesday night about how to truly understand the fear of the Lord, how to get wisdom. It's seeking, yes, but it's crying out after knowledge. It's seeking for her as hid treasures. But he cries out to the Lord, and I love the next phrase. And he says that, he says, and the Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto thee. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. So he prays for a miracle. To my knowledge, and once again, as I get older, things slip out of my knowledge, but this is the first time that I'm thinking of that someone is praying to perform the miracle to raise the child from the dead. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. Isn't that great? When we cry out to God, he's going to hear us. I think we take that for granted. The God of the universe takes time to hear us when we cry out to him. And then he says, and the soul of the child came in unto him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah, see, thy son liveth. And we see here that he brings her, and I'm sure the mom is overwhelmed still with grief, and he's saying, look, thy son liveth. He helps her understand, this is your son. He is alive now. And look what it says in verse number 24. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. There's something that happens from this situation that increases the woman's faith, but also it trains Elijah for the future. And she says this. She says, now by this, talking about this, I know that thou art a man of God. Now, I don't know what that means if it was me. Every day getting oil out of the thing and making new breakfast, that would say, that must be a man of God there. That must be God that's providing. That must be God taking care of it. But you know something? When it happens, something happens day after day after day. Sometimes we get used to it, even when it's a miracle. We have so many blessings. We are provided so much. We have so many good things. The forgiveness of sins, the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible, the preservation of the Bible, the prayer, all those different things. The fact that God hears us. There are so many different blessings that we have that sometimes we forget who God is, and we forget who's doing the work of God. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And sometimes we need to be encouraged with that. But this woman is saying, and maybe her faith was waning a little bit. Maybe she was getting used to getting the meal. She says, but now by this, I know that thou art the man of God. And then it says that she can believe his words too, that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Today I'd like to look at this for just a little while and say, you know what? Good, bad things happen to good people sometimes. In my understanding, you see this, Elijah was told to go here, was told to be provided by the widow woman, and never was told to leave yet. So he's exactly where God wants him to be. She is providing the things for him as the Lord had told him. As earlier in the thing, God told him, he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That's in verse number 9. He's already told that is her job. So they are both doing exactly what the Lord wants them to do, and a tragedy happens. What do you do with that? Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll finish the sermon, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. God, I pray you help us this morning. We're in desperate need of it. We live in a world that is broken, that has so many results of sin that's all around us. We like to make accusations and saying, oh, this is just part of the wickedness. But God, sometimes you allow things to happen in our lives for a specific purpose and a specific reason. And as I think of our church family over the number of the last few months, there's been some things that happen and we wonder, why in the world is it happening? Help us by faith to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to believe that you have what's our best interest at heart. Help us understand that the trials and the circumstances of life that might seem like bad things are things many times to prepare us for the mountaintop experiences or for the way that you want to use us. Lord, help us this morning. I know all of us are facing some type of hardship, and those that are going through tragedies, Lord, those things that are difficult that we think that we don't know how we're going to see ourselves through, help us to believe in a God that loves us and can work all things together for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I've preached a sermon a number of times, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People here. And it was a number of years ago when Bear Smith died on the Sunday night church service I preached at after Bear had given his testimony. Now, I would like to say that I found it, and it was a lot easier in my studying, and I did not find it, so it might be completely different. If you ever written down there talking about the different things, but these are some things that the Lord brought to my heart. There was a book one day I read from the Sword of Lord Publishing that said, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Couldn't find that book either, so the resources just weren't there, but I guess let the Lord kind of speak to my heart about a few things, why sometimes God allows bad things to happen. The first thing I want you to think about, Elijah and this woman's in God's will, but a tragedy happens. Let's first say, first and foremost, sometimes the tragedies of our life is because of sin. If you go back and you look at the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel, they sinned, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but they sinned, God punished them, God sent them into slavery, they repented, they got right. Joshua, Judges, all that book, all the way through, happened over and over, and he says, this is happening because of your sin. And if you have sin in your life, and you have things that are happening in your life, that the first thing we should do is look deep inside and say, God, is there something between me and you? Is there something I need to get right? And make sure that we are completely clean. Psalms 139 talks about, search me, O Lord, and see if there is any wicked way in me. Seek and ask that. And do that with an open heart. Pull down the strongholds in your life. Pull down those things in your life that you have allowed Satan to build up and camouflage the thought of, oh, everything's okay. The world does it. The culture does it. No. Honestly, before the Lord, an open heart, open word, and say, God, I want to be right with you. Show me. Now, but if you have done that, the thought of this morning's message is you're in the spot where God wants you, and God is not trying to get a hold of your attention so you can get your sins right. Because sometimes bad things do happen to people that are sinning because God wants to get, God loves them. He's not going to keep on letting them stay in their sin and stay in their sin. He's going to do things to try to bring them back to a right relationship with him. But these are some thoughts why bad things happen to good people. You might say, Pastor, I'm doing everything I can. I'm trying to live for God the best I know how. In my Bible, I'm in church, I've been praying. But these things keep on happening. What can I do, and why is the purpose of it? I want to remind you first of a couple verses that we need to take by faith and grab a hold of. First is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse number 11. I mentioned this verse last week. For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is a famous verse for graduation time. I was at graduation service on Friday night, and it was a public school, and the man got up, and he didn't use the reference, but he didn't use the King James Version of the Bible, but it was that verse that he said at the end of his speech. And the reality is, by faith, this is a verse we need to believe. God has thoughts towards you. He has something he desires for you. He says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. We talked about that last week with Elijah. We know Elijah from what? We know Elijah from his miracles. We know Elijah from calling the fire down from Mount Carmel. We know the Elijah that was taken up by the fiery chariots. Now, before he ever got to do any of those things, he had to go through Cherith. Then he had to go through Zarephath. Now, here at Zarephath, he is at a new challenge in his life. Nowhere do we see God say to Elijah, Elijah, I want you to take the boy. I want you to take the boy up to the bed. I want you to lay upon the boy, and I want you to cry out to me. He doesn't say that. Elijah has now learned that he cannot depend upon himself, that he cannot trust in himself. And at Cherith, when they are taking and feeding the birds and by the birds in the water, he did not do any of that himself. Fast forward to the widow lady's house. No one would have probably wanted to be there living off the widow lady. But God is teaching him something. He's showing, hey, look, you cannot. I am the one that has to take care of you. I am the one that you can depend upon. I'm the one that you can trust in. It's not about your might. It's not about your strength. It's not about your praying either. And not even about your statement. It's not going to rain. It's about what I can do for you. Now we've come to a spot in his life that he's facing a tragedy. This woman is taking care of him. I don't know about you. I like to read into the Bible sometimes and hear the story. I can picture that this is a little boy, probably somewhere in 6 to 10 years old. And I can imagine that Elijah was probably friends with him. You know, you're living at the house. There's no dad there. I bet you Elijah was buddies with this guy. Do I know that for sure? I don't. But I like to think Elijah's probably a nice guy. He's there. He's kind of in hiding. And so he's there, and he's probably come at least fond of this little boy and fond of this lady and the idea that she's helping take care of him. So he's brought to a new spot. God didn't tell me what to do. What am I supposed to do now? Tragedy has happened, so how am I going to take care of this? What am I going to do? A bad thing happened to a person that I consider a good person that is in doing what God wanted to do in God's time, in God's place. So what does Elijah do? He doesn't overreact. Even when the good person overreacts, even when the good person says, O thou man of God, what hast I to do with thee? He doesn't say, it's your son, you're the one that's wrong. It's probably because you used to be a Baal worshiper. It's probably because of these past sins yet. He doesn't overreact. What does he do? He says, let me have the boy. And then he goes and takes the problem and brings it to God. He brings the boy out and said, God, why did you let this evil happen to this woman? And what God is doing, he is getting Elijah to an expected end. He wants Elijah to be ready to stand before the king here very shortly and call fire down from heaven. And he wants to also help the widow woman to understand that it's not a trick about the meal. It's not a trick about the oil not failing. It is God continually providing for you over and over and over. And he has done it. Don't forget those things. And at the end, it comes up and says, you know what? You're right. You are a man of God. I can trust God's word because of this. So even though the tragedies seem to be overwhelming sometimes, we got to retake it by faith that they're thoughts of peace, not of evil. And God is trying to get you to an expected end. God is training you and making you, showing you things about yourself that maybe you never, ever knew. So think of also one other verse. I think it means that we need to learn how to walk by faith. If he's not bringing something in your life that you cannot handle without his help, you know, that's where faith comes. I don't know how many times we grow when things are good. Things are going really well. Oftentimes we forget and we don't grow. But when things are the tragedy form and we have to put our utter, complete dependence upon God and cry out to God, we learn things about ourselves. The Bible also says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but as such is common to man. But God is faithful. That's good. He is faithful. matter what has happened. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You can bear it. God says he gives you a way to do this. And God shows the answer that's there. Three things that, why bad things happen to good people. And these are three things, they're just thoughts, scriptural things that I think could maybe help us a little bit. The first thing is so that God can get glory. Sometimes something bad happens to a good person because in the end, God's going to be able to get glory out of it. You think about what it says in John chapter 9, verses 1 through 3. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man that which was blind from his birth, and the disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did this sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So in the story, what's being said here is that the disciples come across, and back then in their mind, it was sin. And the reason why they were sinning is because their sin caused blindness and caused disease. And once again, God allows those things to happen sometimes to bring people to get right with them. But here is not the case. He says neither him or his parents. It's foolish to think that if this man was born blind, that because of his sin that he was going to do in the future, God was going to make him blind. He says, no, you missed the whole point here. And in the verse, it said that neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. That in that man, in that blind man, God was going to get glory. That he was going to manifest himself in that man's life and in the curing of that man, of the healing of that man. So God got glory out of it. Sometimes when tragedies happen in our life, we've got to remember, in the end, God's going to get some glory out of it. In the end, he's going to teach. He taught that blind man something. He taught all the disciples something that day. He taught Elijah something in this story, and he taught also the mother something. God got the glory out of it. And sometimes if we lose sight of why we are here, we're not here to please ourselves, we're here to please the Lord. And if the Bible says that everything we do, we should do all to the honor and glory of God, that if our lives, and we've laid them on the altar and said, "God, whatever it is you want to do, God, I'm open, I'm called. God, here it is. This is your life," and that should be our response. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Okay, Lord, here's my life. Do what you want with it. But when the tragedy comes, you're like, "God, why are you doing this?" Sometimes it's because he wants to get glory out of your life. Sometimes it's there. Someone else will see, and someone else will glorify God because they've seen you come through it. Second thing here. And I think this one is the one that helps me a little bit. It's to help others in the future. Second thing, not only that God can get glory, but to help others in the future. Say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" Well, sometimes God allows us to go through a tragedy so that way someday in the future we can go to somebody who's going through the exact same tragedy and say, "I've been through what you've been through. God has helped me, and this is how God helped me." You say, where do you see that in the Bible? There's a great verse in 2 Corinthians 1:4. It said, "Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And there's a lot of comfort in there, so let's think about this verse again. "Who comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." That means when we're going through a tragedy, we allow God to comfort us. And we can. We can have faith in God and allow God to give us that peace that passes all understanding. We turn everything over to him. We allow God to comfort us. So that way when someone else, and the Bible actually says in any trouble, that when someone else is going through a trouble, we're going to be able to comfort them with the way that God had comforted us back there. Sometimes God allows something to happen so that way you can be a comfort to somebody else. I think about the story that when I was a kid back at home, some of you know who Pastor Tom Berry is. He has a son named Richard and a wife that was named Sandy. And I remember the first time I was like a teenager, and I didn't understand about pregnancies and losing babies and things like that. But I heard a testimony of how a woman had lost a baby, and I probably was an older teenager. And she said that when Richard's wife came in, she knew exactly what they were going through because the lady's name was Sandy, had already lost three babies. He says, there was tons of people trying to comfort me, tons of people trying to understand. He said, my husband was trying to understand and comfort me, but he wasn't doing a good job. I know you ladies know what she was talking about, because sometimes the husband tries to be a comfort and sometimes they just mess it up. But she said that when a lady who had experienced it so many times before came in, she was a help. And you could look at that and be bitter about that, or you could look at it, God helped me at this time in my life. Now he's preparing me so I can help somebody else in the future. And I think about the Kelly family, or missionaries to Indonesia. Young lady, sweet young lady, serving the Lord, going to Indonesia, doing what God wanted to do. But they've lost multiple children also. And she's written a pamphlet or a book to try to be a help there. And it was training them and preparing them to help some other way. So the tragedy are not things that we're praying for and saying, God, send a tragedy to my life so that way I can help somebody. I don't think God tells us to pray that way. But if we believe that they're thoughts of peace, not of evil, to an expected end, then God could be helping us to get through something so we can help somebody in the future. I see people in our church, a few people especially, that I've seen them go through certain things, but they try to spread the light to other people. They don't become bitter. Sometimes they do ask why, which is reasonable. And sometimes they're challenged because of the circumstances they've gone through. But they use what they've gone through to be a blessing and a help to somebody else. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, God will comfort us, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God helped me through it. He can help you. But by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God, we've been comforted before. God can definitely comfort you. And if it's someone else who has gone through that, it carries a lot more weight. I've been around here for a little while now, but when I was 30, and then when I got here, I was 29, and it's turning 30 a few months later, I heard so many times, you're so young, you'll understand someday. I'm 46, I still don't understand. But I have people say, you know, an experience does teach you a lot of things. I don't know what it's like to have a grandchild go away from the Lord. I don't know what it's like to lose a grandchild. I don't know what it's like to lose a son or a daughter. But I've sat with people that have. I've sat with people who question God. I've sat with people who've made it through in circumstances they never thought they could make it through. Now they are stronger. Their faith is stronger. And they don't ever forget what they went through. But they never forget what God did for them. And God can give them the strength and courage if we allow them to. Third thing I want you to think about this, why bad things happen to good people sometimes. Not only that God could get glory, not only that to help others so we can help others in the future, but to teach us something about ourselves. To teach us something about ourselves. And I know this might seem a little bit odd, and I bet you in the first two times I ever spoke this in the last 16 years, I didn't take that, but learning sometimes, tragedy reveals us to ourselves. I think about Jonah, and I love the story of Jonah because I believe Jonah was a prophet of God. Jonah had good prophecies at the beginning. I believe Jonah said, God, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll say anything you want me to say. And then God says, okay, I want you to go to Nineveh. So God showed to Jonah, to Nineveh, that, you know what? I won't go anywhere you want me to go. I won't say what you want me to say. I won't do the things that you want me to do. Because instead, he goes straight to Tarshish. So God, what does he do? He reveals something to Jonah about himself he did not know. Does that God saying, hey, look, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't believe you. I'm going to bring this huge trial in your life. No, no, no. God wants to do a work in him. God wants to use him. God gets glory in Nineveh. God gets glory. And what was the tragedy in Jonah's life? He got swallowed by a fish. I mean, there's not much worse than that. He got swallowed by a fish. And then later on, he got spit back out. And then he had to go in front of a bunch of people. I'm sure he looked a mess. He didn't really care. But you know what? It trained him. It taught him something to where he could go and help somebody else too. And I think that later on, he said, well, did Jonah ever get right with God or not? I think Jonah must have got right. Somebody wrote that book. And I think that God wouldn't really use somebody that was angry and bitter and away from God. You can argue with me about that if you want. I remember my Bible teacher didn't, in college, when I asked my Bible teacher about that, and he didn't like my answer, but it gave him something to think about. At the same time, you know, Jonah here, it taught him, I did say at that altar that day that I would do whatever he told me to do, but something changed when I didn't like it. Sometimes there's a tragedy that happens, and God is just trying to help us, prepare us to do something in the future. It's teaching us something about ourselves. I even think about Job. And Job has the highest character, highest integrity. Of all the people, Satan looks at him and says, what about thy servant Job? Of all the people on the earth that day, it was that person. But at the end of Job's life, what does he say? He said, I heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. I see you work, God, in my life. Now, Job went through all those different tragedies. Job went all those things that happened. And yes, it was by satanic oppression. He went and asked God, can I do these things? And God allowed it. But what was God doing? God was showing Job something about himself that he did not know. Job was a man who feared the Lord and he eschewed evil. He did all those things right. But in the end, he says, I see him working now. It's completely different than before. I went through all that tragedy, and now I see God working, and the better half, the better end of Job's life was better than the first part. Why do bad things happen to good people? You go to the story of Job, and you see all those things that are written about Job, and you're like, why in the world would God pick that person? Why in the world did this have to happen? Why did this have to happen? But in the end, you don't see Job complaining. You see Job saying, I see him more clearly now. So I'm not telling you should ask for tragedy. That's for sure, no. Enough will come your way anyway. Enough challenges will come your way. But in your heart and in your life, you think of this story of this woman. She questioned the man of God. She questioned God. Elijah even said, why has that done this evil? Questioning God a little bit. But make sure you don't lose your faith. You never know what God is preparing for you in the future. You never know what type of blessing you can be. There's been times in our life since we've been here, and I try to hide it pretty well, and I think my wife does a good job hiding it. And we tell our boys if they ever complain about something that's going on, they get in trouble, so they never say anything. But sometimes times are tough and times are hard, and I'm not asking you to feel sorry for us at all, because we feel like we're right where God wants us to be. But there's things that happen in our backgrounds and in the background of things, in the backdrop of things, that are really, really hard sometimes. But almost every single one of those occasions, I sat up in my office a few weeks ago and explained something and told somebody something that I went through, and they were going through the exact same thing. And they were amazed. They said, I never knew it. I says, yeah, we didn't want you to know it. He says, you're good at hiding things. I says, it's not that. But I look back at that now, and I didn't know I was going to make it through or not. Things sometimes get so overwhelming and so hard and so tough, you ask yourself, oh, I don't know how tomorrow is going to come. Don't know what's going to happen next week. Don't know if we're going to be here forever or not. But in the end, you look back and you say, he was faithful. Like that verse said, God is faithful. But God is faithful. He was faithful then, and he's going to be faithful to you. Live a life that's going to be able to show other people that God can get glory even when bad things happen. I was going to skip this chapter, this little portion of this little story, because there's a lot more exciting things that happen. But God spoke to my heart this week about all the things and tragedies that happen in our lives, that we need this. We need to understand that bad things do happen even to people when things are doing what they're supposed to do. But do we have the faith to walk by faith and not by sight? Do we believe there are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to an expected end? Because if we did, our attitudes would be a lot different. They would be more crying out to God, depending upon God, not blaming God, asking God why, maybe, but also learning from it. At the end, with Job, I could say, I saw God in a greater way than I had ever seen him before. And that's what God wants to do. Reveal something about ourselves. But while he reveals something to us, he reveals himself to us also. Last but not least, and it's definitely not the most least, you see a God here that is so powerful he can raise the dead. That's awesome. But we have a God that is able to raise the dead spiritually also. The Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and sin, that we're all sinners, that we all need a Savior. Jesus Christ demonstrated and showed his love, that God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died on that cross so we could have a way to heaven. We could not get to heaven on our own. Our sin puts us directly straight on the path to hell. But by the power of God, he is able to save us if we put our faith and trust in him. That is his way. And if you're not sure that you're going to heaven today, please come forward during the invitation time. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. And this morning, I know across this entire room, there's people that face trials and tragedies so often in their life, it makes me wonder, how do they get through? But I also see sometimes how God works in their hearts and lives, and they are a blessing to so many other people because God has prepared them that way. Now, the tragedy might be because of sin. Get that right, if it is. Because that woman even said, bring my sin up. It wasn't because of any sin she did that the boy died. It was because God was doing a work in her heart and Elijah's heart. But if there is something that God is punishing you for because of a sin, and he's trying to get that right. But if not, surrender to God. Say, God, I want you to get glory out of this. Surrender to God and say, God, I want you to, if I have to go through this tragedy, I want to learn so I can show other people also someday. Surrender to God and say, God, I want you to show me what you're trying to teach me about myself through this tragedy or through this, quote, quote, bad thing. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.